Morning again. It's great to be with you once again this second Sunday of the Advent season. And it's interesting that the candles are lining up with the messages, because I didn't really have that in mind as I put together this series. But last week we looked at Zechariah after looking at the lighting of the hope candle, and we saw a guy who had completely given up hope that his prayers would ever be answered, and yet miraculously they were. And he had faced a life of really just unfair judgment and criticism of his life because of their barrenness that they had experienced up until that point. Today we light a candle of peace, and we're going to look at a life whose peaceful existence was completely disrupted by circumstances that were anything but peaceful, and who was thrown into a lot of turmoil in his life. We heard earlier this beautiful song that has become somewhat of a Christmas classic, even just in the last 25 or 30 years. A wonderful song by Mark Lowry, "Mary, Did You Know?" And as I said last week, I have been impressed over and over with what I believe is the answer to that question, "Mary, did you know?" In my mind, and from what I see in Scripture, Mary had no clue what was going on. She didn't know what she was getting into. She didn't know it was coming. And when it was told to her that she was going to be the mother of the Son of God, she certainly did not know what that meant. And what she probably thought she knew was incorrect. And as I thought about that, I realized that the same could be said for all of the characters of the Christmas story, those characters that we're so familiar with, that we've seen dramatized in films and cartoons and church plays and our own reading of the Scriptures year after year. We have been somewhat conditioned to see the Christmas story in airbrushed romantic Hallmark cards, you know? The second verse of the song, which Scott did not have us sing today, is one of my least favorite verses of all the Christmas carols. Away in a manger, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Hogwash. Jesus was a baby, like any other baby. Certainly he cried. Certainly he was hungry, cold, uncomfortable. We see the images of the stable where Jesus was born. It was a cave. And it's all spotless and clean, and we think, oh, how pleasant and romantic that must have been. Are you kidding? To give birth in a damp, stinky cave that has been housing animals for centuries, possibly? I don't think so. And as I pondered that and I considered this story, I just have become to realizing that people in the Christmas story did not know what was coming and did not know necessarily even how to handle it doesn't diminish at all the story. It actually enhances the story. And it truly makes it more applicable for each one of us, because as we go through life, we don't understand what's coming either. And yet we see in the story what people of faith can do when they face great crisis. And today we're going to examine the story of Joseph, and we will see that Joseph didn't know. But what do we know about Joseph's life? Both Matthew and Luke specifically tell us that Joseph was a son of David. God had promised David centuries earlier that one day the Messiah, the deliverer, would be born through one of his descendants. And Scripture tells us also that Joseph was a carpenter, and that he and Mary, his fiancée, were from a small village of Nazareth. Small village carpenters lived rather meager lives. And we see that in a later episode recounted for us in Luke's gospel, where he tells us that Joseph and Mary went to make an offering at the temple, and they brought two pigeons to give as their offering. And that small, meager offering was only permissible for people who were living in poverty. Matthew 1:19 tells us that Joseph was a righteous man. That means he followed the rule. He knew the law. He was familiar with the teachings of Scripture, and he lived according to them. We would have said he was a good man. He would have looked, like all Jews in his day, for the arrival of the promised deliverer, that one that had been promised to his ancient father David years before, centuries before, that one day a deliverer would come who would free Israel from the world's oppression. But like most of the people in his age, he would have anticipated that to be a military leader, and that hope that he had had would have been diminished by years, centuries of oppressive domination by one nation after another, at his time, the Romans. We're told also that Joseph was engaged to a young girl named Mary. We'll talk about her in a few weeks. They would have been engaged at a formal ceremony before family and friends, which gave Joseph the right to call Mary his wife. But unlike our culture, once that engagement was established, Mary would have returned to her parents' home for about a year while Joseph added a room onto his parents' house where he would one day bring his bride. And when that wedding took place, about a year later, then she would go to live with her husband. Imagine Joseph's excitement, a carpenter being able to finally build furniture for his own place, for his own family, getting ready to welcome her into his house. Into this utterly routine life in a very small village would have made Kenny look like a big city. At some point during that year, his routine life took a sudden and terrible turn into crisis. In Luke chapter 1, verse 39, the gospel tells us that at some point during that year, Mary hurried off to the hill country of Judea. It was a far distance in that day. It was actually south of Jerusalem, beyond Bethlehem even. She went there to visit her cousin Elizabeth. She was gone for about 3 months, and when she returned, Joseph was faced with an unexpected and troubling reality. His fiancée was pregnant. Matthew 18, which was read for us earlier, puts it this way. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be wed to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child. Oh, the scandal. Can you imagine the talk around the village well there in this little village of Nazareth? What a shame. I can't believe Mary would do that. And Joseph, he's such a good boy. I would have never expected such a thing from him. Oh, ba 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 ba. Can you imagine? That's what we know about Joseph's life. A good man, a faithful, hardworking man, carrying on normal life in a normal town, looking forward to a normal marriage and a normal family. But like everyone else in the Christmas story, Joseph's life was suddenly and unexpectedly and without explanation turned upside down. For just a few moments, think about the wave of emotions that must have crashed on Joseph. First, there was shock. When we read Joseph's story, there's no record or of an explanation of what was about to happen prior to Mary's pregnancy. Throughout the story of Christmas, all the different people that we look at and that we're familiar with, we see angels coming and talking to Zechariah ahead of time to tell him what's going to happen, to Mary ahead of time to tell her what's going to happen. The shepherds have a visit from angels to tell them, go and see this joyful thing that has happened. But Joseph simply found out. It was a shock. It was a discovery. It was an unpleasant discovery. The jolt to Joseph had to be stunning. It was only after the shock of having his fiancée coming back from a three-month journey and being found 3 or 4 months pregnant. Added to the shock is confusion. Imagine how Joseph's friends and family there in that village must have reacted. When he denied that he was the father of Mary's baby, they would have immediately been moved towards anger at her for her unfaithfulness. Well, it's somebody's child, so if you're not the guy, then she has been unfaithful to you. And they would have encouraged him to clear his name by divorcing her and demanding justice. But we read that he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, as if she wasn't already disgraced publicly. Everybody knew. But he didn't want to see her publicly disgraced, and so he set in his mind to divorce her quietly, not make a big deal out of it. Don't breeze by that transition in the story. Public disgrace? Forget about it. He could have had her killed. Stoning for adultery was not necessarily common, but not unexpected. Remember the story of the woman caught in adultery in front of Jesus 30 years later? They were going to kill her for being unfaithful. No, of course, no mention of the guy. But this was something that was done. And he could have certainly been in right, within his own rights, to call for her death. But he wouldn't do it. But by not demanding justice, by not making a big deal about it, what happens? He leaves himself open to, well, if he's not going to have it be a big deal, then maybe he really is the father. Again, small town gossip, right? But he knew that he wasn't the father. So what do you do with that? What am I supposed to do now? Can you imagine how he's torn within? And then there's this story she tells. You've got to be kidding. An angel, sure, in Nazareth, okay, right, shows up to tell you that you are going to have a baby without the help of any man. Uh-huh, sure, okay. Can you imagine what that must have been like? But he would not see her killed, and so he was not going to press charges against her, but he was certainly not going to take her as his wife. Would you live with a crazy woman like that, who told a story like that, who was obviously pregnant by somebody else? Would you continue to go forward with the engagement? Nope. We read this story and we're so familiar with it that we just breeze over it and we don't really fully appreciate the depth of what we're seeing here and what's going on in the lives of these people. And then there's fear. Twice in Joseph's story, we read that he was afraid. In fact, we know it because the angels say, "Don't be afraid." In the first one, at least, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, the angel comes to Joseph in a dream and says, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife." The other mention of fear is in verse 22 of chapter 2 of Matthew, where Joseph has by this time taken Mary and the baby to Egypt. And when the time comes for them to return to Israel, he hears that Herod's son is now in charge of the area of Judea, and so he says, "No, I'm afraid to go there," and they go to another part of the nation of Israel, so they'd be under a different ruler. The story of Christmas for Joseph is a story of shock and confusion and fear and anxiety, the unknown being faced over and over again. This was no Hallmark Christmas card for Joseph. This was no twinkling lights around a romantic fire in a cold, damp cave. This was tough. It was rough. It was horrible. But these few mentions that we have of Joseph in the Gospels tell us some important insights into Joseph's character that I think we would do well to emulate in our own lives. Matthew 1:19 outlines the conflict that Joseph faced, but it also shows us that he was a selfless person. Even as obvious as his situation was, he did not demand his rights. He did not seek what everybody in the village would have told him was his legitimate right as an offended, cheated on husband. Even though in his own mind he thought she was guilty, he had no reason to believe otherwise. And yet, he was selfless and did not demand his own rights. Joseph also shows that he was obedient, and it is demonstrated in the stories that we have about Joseph over and over again. We see that he immediately obeyed the command of God as soon as he heard it. When he took Mary into his home to be his wife, immediately after the vision of the angel. When he took Mary and when he took them to Egypt to escape the attack of Herod's troops, even though he had no way of knowing it except that the angel came and said, "Get up and go," and he got up and went. When they returned to Israel, he was being obedient. When they settled in Galilee, he was being obedient. Each time we see Joseph going about his normal life, from this point forward, he is obedient to God's leading. In one case, getting up in the middle of the night to do what God had told him to do. But perhaps more than any other character of Joseph, what we see portrayed in these stories is faithfulness. Though our view is limited of Joseph's life, we have a picture of a faithful man and a faithful stepfather. He provided spiritual leadership to his family. Don't miss this. It's easy to skip by this. But we see that on the eighth day after the birth of the child, he took them to the temple to obey the rules on the eighth day for his circumcision. He took Mary and the baby there 6 weeks later to make an offering in honor of his firstborn son. And Luke tells us in his account of the life of the young Jesus that every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. That was a costly, obedient step that showed just how important his faith was to Joseph, that he would not just recognize the Passover from Nazareth or wherever he happened to be at the moment, but he would gather up his young family and lay out whatever expense it took to go to the temple for Passover every year. He was really committed to his faith. Selfless, obedient, faithful. Great traits for any man. I think we'd all agree. Joseph was the man that God singled out to be the primary human influence on his son. Think about that for a minute. The eternal God of the universe, the creator of the universe, the one who was and is to come, the one who is eternal, able to see all things and know all hearts, looked across the span of all the human race for one to be serving as the stepfather, the most important male human influence on his son, and he selected a poor carpenter in a small village called Nazareth. As Jesus grew up in the home of Joseph, he would have doubtless developed patterns that mirrored the head of his household. Speech patterns, hand skills, maybe even the way he walked or the cadence of his speech would have been influenced by the man of the house. His attitudes would have been influenced as he watched Joseph face tough times there in his small business of his shop, the way that he dealt with neighbors, the way that he dealt with customers, the generosity that he showed when somebody couldn't pay for something that Joseph had done for them. All of those things would have influenced the life of this young boy growing up. Son of God though he was still surrounded in the flesh by human influences. Jesus would have learned a lot from his stepdad, including how to face death. Because one thing that we can see from the story is that Joseph's life was cut short. Whatever he had visioned for his life with Mary and the long, happy family life that they would have apparently got cut short. We see him taking Jesus and Mary to Jerusalem at age when Jesus was 12 years old, but from that point forward, he's gone from the story. In Mark chapter 6, verse 3, when Jesus is just beginning his public era of ministry, he is described as the carpenter's son, Mary's son. And there are brothers and sisters that are referenced. Jesus has now apparently taken the reins of the family business. Joseph is not mentioned at all, except in reference to being a carpenter whose son now is Jesus. And he's probably been gone for quite some time. Whatever the plans were that he may have had with Mary, they appear to have been cut short. In the life of Joseph, we learned the truth about the harsh realities of life. For Joseph, and all throughout the Bible, we see good, godly people who were being led by God, who were chosen by God, experience fear, face circumstances that they don't understand, and situations that just seem absolutely impossible. They make decisions that are unpopular and not understood by their family and friends. It doesn't mean that they're outside of God's will that they're facing these harsh times, or that they have somehow failed God and that's why they're facing these difficulties. It simply means that they are real people facing real troubles, and they need the guidance and the presence of God all the more. And the same is true for each and every one of us today. We all face our own times of challenge and crisis in life and in faith. The question is, how do we respond when we face those times? The story of Joseph shows how we should respond. I have the responsibility to obey God even when it's hard. Just because things don't go my way, I don't have the right to be disobedient or rebellious. Joseph could have chalked up that angelic dream explaining Mary's situation as too much garlic in his falafel, but he didn't. He listened and he obeyed the Lord. I must choose to be loving instead of selfish, no matter what my circumstances. Just because things don't go the way I want them to, I don't have the right to become pouty and self-absorbed and bitter and angry at God. Joseph could have gone away and sulked for the rest of his life. He could have demanded his rights, but instead he opened himself up to criticism and suspicion and ridicule. I can choose to be faithful in tough times. Just because things aren't perfect, I don't get to use that as an excuse to abdicate my responsibility to my family, my friends, my work, or my church. Though he certainly did not know what to expect or how to go about raising the Son of God, Joseph became a faithful example of godly manliness to Jesus and to the other children that came into their family. But perhaps the most important lesson for us to learn is that when God was about his most important work in all of human history, the people that he included in that work were no different than you and I. They couldn't see the whole picture of God any more than you and I can see it 2,000 years later. But we see in the Christmas story that God took people of faith in the moment of their greatest crisis in life, and he made it their time of greatest purpose. As we face our uncertainties, our pain, our disappointment, our confusion, may we be found humble and submissive to the never-failing, always-present hand of the sovereign God of the universe, who alone knows and ordains our paths into an unknown and uncertain future. Joseph, did you know that your fiance would show up pregnant one day? Joseph, did you know that you'd face the choice of scandal or walking away? Can you believe this crazy story that Mary is telling you? And if you don't believe it, then Joseph, what will you do? Joseph didn't know. Father, the truth is, none of us know what the future holds. None of us knows what will transpire even in the next hour, where we might be suddenly thrust into circumstances and situations that are seemingly unfair and are certainly unexpected. Lord, whatever we face, whatever comes our way, would you, by your Holy Spirit, equip us and help us to be found faithful, to be found obedient, and to be submissive to your will for us, no matter what it may be. Lord, make this Christmas season one where we will be able to not just see the characters of Christmas through a new lens, but see our own lives through the lens of Scripture and your purposes and your faithfulness. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.